You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Keith, you ready for a Victory Monday?
Oh, I am. It's been a while. Actually, maybe I'm not ready. Maybe I don't know how to do this.
I don't think I am ready.
This is a weird place to be in.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
How do I react to this?
A lot of people don't know how to feel.
I don't know how to explain my feelings right now.
I think a lot of people don't know how to feel about yesterday. The Patriots win.
It's a nice win.
That's odd.
Yeah, strange. It's been about 7 weeks.
Jacoby Brissett leads a game-winning drive.
He's the Rolaids relief man of the year.
Very strange. Drake Mays hurt.
Look great.
Look real good.
Then gets hurt. Mm-hmm. Don't break Drake crowd being like, I told you.
Yeah, so we got
to
deal with them, I'm sure, today, yes. Which I'm not looking forward to. Gerard Mayo sneaky kind of blamed Drake May for his injury.
Well, and I'll tell you, yeah, he did. That was odd.
Yeah.
To steal your side of the street, the Patriots are 1-0 after their coach calls them soft.
It's a good point.
One
good point. They responded
they
to
did.
Gerard Mayo for being called soft, or did they? I want to dig more into that here today on Jones and Keefe. It is a Patriots Monday following their 25-22 victory over the Jets yesterday. Their second win of the year. They're now number three in the draft standings, Keefe.
Yeah, a lot of two-win teams in the NFL right now.
Yeah, they
get a lot of schmucky teams.
Maybe a winning streak with Tennessee next up.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Maybe.
But maybe.
Maybe.
But maybe. You see that Tennessee outfit last night? Or yesterday?
Certainly did. Not very good.
Holy mackerel.
So we'll get to your thoughts on it all day long. It's 617-779-7937. You should feel good about a win today, right? Patriots fans, you should, I think. You can jump in again on the phones at 617-779-7937. You can text us at 37937. Interact with the program, Twitter and Instagram, at Jones and Keefe. You can watch and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Already a lively chat going on there.
Hopping.
Plus on YouTube, just subscribe to WEEI. We should feel good, right?
We should feel good.
You don't sound sold.
Well, no, because again, it all comes down to Drake May. And we thought winning some games, because you and I weren't of the tank and get the number one pick and go from there. We were saying, hey, win some games, build some good habits. And once they went to Drake May, I was thinking, all right, Drake May is going to be the one leading a fourth quarter drive potentially to win or whatever, or playing really well and racking up some wins. This one was weird. He put him in a spot. He had a great run for the touchdown and had a couple of decent enough drives. And then he comes out and they're still able to win. So I do feel good about it, but I understand why you feel a little bit mixed. It's a little strange the way that the whole thing played out. I do think it's far and away the most important for Gerard Mayo. Gerard Mayo's seat had never been as warm as it was last week. A lot of conversation last week. Will he survive the year and or will he start next year? And I was like, oh my God. Like, I thought for sure he was going to be back next year, but it was coming into doubt. He called the team out, and then everybody between Bill Belichick and former players in the media, everybody pounced on Mayo for those comments. And that's what we talked about all week. So for all the people involved in the entire Patriots organization, that win was the most important for Gerard Mayo. And I don't even think it's close. Like, I don't think there's a second guy on that list that's like, yeah, that win really helped me. No, Mayo needed that win.
So it helped more people, but it helped Mayo by far the most.
A win is, like, with especially a six-game losing streak in the NFL, things start to pile up, whether it's players, assistant coaches, the owner, like whatever it is. It's important for everybody to get rid of that losing streak. You don't want to be the worst team in the league. We talked last week a lot about how when the year is up, how awful 1-16 and even 2-15, how that looks like just on the standings and where you're at. But for them to get a win, throwing the fact that it's at home, like it was pretty significant for Gerard Mayo.
So I do feel good about the win. Now I'll say I would prefer it if it was Drake May getting the win and playing well and he's out there and you win because of your young quarterback. I would feel better about it, of course. But I feel good about the win for what you just said. They needed it.
They desperately needed that.
This organization needed this win badly. They were a joke. They were a laughingstock. It was a national conversation. The coach called them soft. Bill Belichick called them out for being called soft. They were asked about being soft all week long. They got a second win. They needed it. The whole organization needed this, unless you want to turn back into, and maybe they're still trending there, early 90s Patriots, you're a disaster every week. Players getting arrested off the field. Players out too late, beyond their curfew, which I know Mayo quibbled with on the Greg Hill show. You know, playing poorly on the field, nothing to look forward to, games that aren't watchable every single week. Unless you want that to be the reality, which I don't. No. I never wanted that to be the reality with Brissett or with May. Unless that's what you want, purely for a draft pick, that's a good win yesterday. It's a win you should feel good about. And big picture, maybe, just maybe,
yeah,
everything with Mayo, the sideshow, the antics, all the things that we feared when the Patriots hired him, maybe that was the worst of it last week, and you can start to dig out of it because you got a win. So even just long-term big picture, maybe it's a sign that Jerod Mayo, A, can survive the year, and B, can still lead these guys. The organization needed it. So I do feel good about the win, but there's obviously stuff we can nitpick in that game. The receivers were terrible. I think the and look, Kayshon Boutte had a couple of big catches late.
Yeah, he did.
To save the day, I guess, but the receivers were terrible.
Terrible.
I thought that the softness thing was still there to a degree. Like, they won the game, so I'm not going to call them soft, but they still got run on, you know?
Well, it's also one of those things where let's give the Patriots credit, and I'm not going to spend 4 hours talking about how bad the Jets are, because the Patriots are bad too, and they won the game, so they deserve credit for winning the game. But some of the stuff that the Jets were doing was unbelievable
to me.
Since
you brought it up, what was your favorite part?
I think delay a game on a two-point conversion.
Thank you.
I don't think I've ever seen that in my life.
Francesa was ranting and raving about it. Maybe we'll play it later on, but he's so right. It's like, you knew the whole drive you were going for
You're going for two.
How do you get a delay a game when you know you're going for two?
I'd never seen that in my life at any level. That was wild.
You ever seen a team burn all their timeouts? I feel like by the end of the first quarter, in the first half.
I don't think so.
With Aaron Rodgers. Not with like a rookie quarterback. Yeah. With Aaron Rodgers, who supposedly has command of the game clock and...
No, zero feel for it.
Oh, my God.
Zero feel. And I don't know if it's him having like a mini strike against the new play caller, because that's not his guy, Nathaniel Hackett. But usually, I think it's something like that.
I like it. Okay.
Because I think it's him being like, I didn't get to play it soon enough.
Yeah.
That kind of... So he's kind of putting it on him would be my guess. I guess he in the postgame took the blame for the delay game on the two-point conversion too, because he said he didn't like the look or whatever. But regardless, it looked like a JV operation out there. Those guys, they're burning through all their timeouts, multiple delay of games, to the point where you're like, do they mean to do that? Like, are they trying? They want to back it up a little bit? They were a mess. Also, they ended up, in the grand scheme of things, running it 28 times, which seems surprisingly high to me.
The Jets did. Yeah, but it felt early
on. Didn't feel like it.
Early on, they weren't running.
And you're like, you can't run against the team.
Yeah, early on, they tried to throw.
And even their touchdowns, you're like, why are you making it so hard on yourself? They had like two insane catches for their touchdowns. And you're like, why didn't you hand it off? The Patriots have been getting smoked on the ground the last 5 weeks. And they're like, nah, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, we're going to
put it in the hands of Rodgers, who... Man, I was super wrong about him going into this year. Man. He looks awful.
I mean, look, there were a lot of people who believed in Aaron Rodgers this year, but you have Patriots defenders like Devon Godchild coming out and being
like, he's cooked.
Yeah,
he's like, I can catch him.
I can catch him. Hilarious. Said Devon Godchild.
Yeah, so they were a mess, and they played a big factor in it. Like, they have hit rock bottom. Both teams are 2-6, and you saw all the memes going around yesterday, which are really funny. You know, the Patriots. Going into the season, we know as a Patriots fan, it's going to be one of their worst years ever. Jets fans are going in thinking this is going to be one of their best years ever. Both are 2-6. They've split their two games this year. It's like they are each other. One is the other. And I've never felt more right. You and I were doing a couple last week. Like, would you rather be the Jets or the Patriots just now and going forward? And we're like, it's the Pats because of Drake May. And then, I mean, I didn't realize it was going to be this bad this soon for New York. But, yeah, you'd rather be the Patriots. Even in a time where the Jets should be better than New England, they're still not. It's unbelievable.
So we'll get into a bunch from this game. If you want to pile on the Jets, feel free. I think right now, if the season ended today, they're drafting fourth, you're drafting third. You have the quarterback. They don't.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it feels like you're in a better spot than the New York Jets.
J-E-T-E Jets!
Plus, I mean, the Jets, this is not the year that you want the top pick. I mean, maybe people out there like the college quarterbacks more than I do. Yeah. But last year at this time, we were probably all doing shows being like, well, Caleb Williams, Drake May, this Jaden Daniels looks really good. He's going to win the Heisman. Like, we all have quarterbacks that we like. I don't feel the same. And so the Jets might go back into that Jets vortex where they're taking Mark Sanchez, Zach Wilson. They're taking big swings at quarterbacks, and they might not be the guy.
Yeah, you're overdrafting Grant Nussmeier or somebody like that.
Right.
At pick four. So you can jump in on all of this. 617-779-7937. We'll get to Jerod Mayo. Did he save his job? We'll get to the Patriots wide receiver room, which is still
yikes.
Maddening. And of course, let's get to Drake May as well. Drake May gets hurt. Yes, he looks phenomenal early on in the game.
He really did. His passing numbers should have been a lot better if it wasn't for the aforementioned wide receivers dropping passes. But he was running when it was there, right? It wasn't designed runs, but he was running when it's there.
Yeah, and by the way, running when it's there, we had some concerns about his knee a week ago.
Yeah, no, look good.
He
looks fine.
He looks totally fine. He's running wild like he's Josh Allen out there.
Touchdown run looked great. And then he gets hit in the head, and it's on a slide. He gave himself up. There was a defender in front of him. And he was like, I'm good. And then the defender from behind him comes flying in. No penalty called on the play. And it's one of those ones where that's a spot where the quarterback is trying to do the right thing and is trying to avoid the hit and then still gets hit. You know, it's funny. In the Miami game, Tua came back and he picked up a first down and then slid and got like a standing ovation. The crowd's like, yes, thank God. But like, I know it's fast and I know a lot of the rules favor the offense right now and trying to protect the quarterbacks. But that's another one. Like, you want these guys to slide. How can they still get hit in the head when they're sliding? And that's what happened. And it wasn't even a penalty or anything.
And he stayed in the game.
He stayed in the game. And then apparently, did you see the tweet? He was talking to Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, yeah. Brissett's like, you're no good.
He's no good.
Yeah,
I get
out of there. Oh, you're fuzzy. Get out of the game. I want to get in.
I thought it was kind of fitting that the coaches couldn't tell. Like, either he didn't talk to Mayo or like they didn't even know. Yeah. And it was like the backup quarterback had to be like, hey, guys, you might want to get him looked at.
Yeah.
So the most prized possession on the team gets a concussion, keeps playing, comes off the field. Nobody knows except for the backup quarterback.
You'd have to talk to your players, Keith, to get a read on them. Jerron Mayo's not talking to anyone.
No, that's a good point.
He's busy working on handshakes with Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah, that was tough.
After the Drake May touchdown. And so May stays in the game. He is removed. He goes to the blue medical tent. He goes into the tunnel. And then at halftime, Mayo updates everybody on the broadcast.
Yeah, he's like, he's not coming back.
Yeah, he's going to be out. And you're like, great. Thanks. Here we go. Long day. What did you tweet in real time?
Halloween was on AMC. And people are barking at me. They're like, oh, you missed a hell of a game. It's like, I watched the game.
It's a joke.
It's a joke just because they're not as entertaining with Jacoby Brissett as Drake May. I apologize if I offend anybody with those claims. Well, but we watched it for 5 weeks.
Thank you. We've all been waiting for it.
It is a bore watching Jacoby Brissett. It is much more fun to watch Drake May play, even though this game happened to end in a exciting fashion. I would say, like, congrats to Jacoby Brissett. Tip of the cap. I also hope I never see you play again. Like, I still go back. Drake May to be healthy.
There's
no
real chance he starts this week. Because typically, this is not ironclad, but typically you get a concussion, you miss the next week. That's the way the protocol generally works.
Yeah.
And if anything,
brutal.
I'm not big on babying Drake May, but on something like this, I would skew towards give the kid an extra week.
Yeah.
Like,
it is.
The idea that people are taking a victory lap, like, oh, you wanted the kid out there, you got him killed. He's going to be back in a week.
Yeah, but also, those people can't have it both ways because they were specifically referring to the offensive line.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the case. The offensive line, which, by the way, deserves credit, too, is the first time they didn't have a new starting lineup. So 8 games, they had 7 different combinations up front.
Bravo.
So it was the first one that had repeated. And this wasn't him getting killed on the blind side because, you know, whoever is playing left tackle couldn't make a play. It's part of his game is him running.
We also know what we were all talking about. We were talking about season-ending injuries, ACLs, Achilles. Yeah. No one was talking about missing a week for a concussion. That's not what anyone was talking about when they said get the kid killed.
People also talked about, they're going to break him mentally. He's looked pretty good.
Looks
he's kind of elevated the offense, actually, since he's come back in.
Look, I don't want him to have a concussion, but that we're talking very short term in the grand scheme of things. If you need to skew one way or the other, though, give him an extra week. I would agree with that. Here's Jerron Mayo earlier today on the Greg Hill Show discussing Drake May getting hurt. I said, here's Jerron Mayo. Earlier today.
I will say this. I have clicked play 3 times.
Let me
clarify.
We
got it? Let's hear it. All right.
Boomer Esiason was on with us earlier this morning talking about young quarterbacks who want to run the ball and don't always take care of themselves. Is that something that you want to keep reminding Drake May?
This goes back to like darn if you do, darn if you don't, you know, and, well, we should put him in the first week, or we should put him in here, and it's like, you know, at a certain time, like, we're always going to do what's best for the football team, and look, the quarterback is the most important position on the field. I mean, however you feel about that, you know, the quarterback's the most important position on the field, and he has to protect himself a little better.
Okay, quarterbacks do have to protect themselves.
He slid.
Yeah.
He slid. What more could he do?
Yeah.
Honestly, what more could Drake May do on that? Do you not want him to run? That would be my question to Mayo. Do you not want him to run at all? If he dove head first, or even a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo years ago, not nearly as mobile. Remember some of those like on the sideline, yeah. Like lowering a shoulder? That's when you say, hey, dude, get out of bounds.
No,
or like Tua, hey, slide.
A quarterback protecting themselves is completely valid, but was it valid on that play? I don't think so. Yeah, me neither.
They need to protect themselves at all times, sure. The league also does try to protect them, but you want him to protect him on that one? That seems like I'm going to try to have a coaching point here when there's really nothing to coach. He did what you would have suggested, or you don't even talk to the offense, so let's not pretend that you do.
Right.
Alex Van Pelt probably told him, hey, get what's there and then go down. That'd be my guess. Or maybe T.C. McCartney, the QB coach, or whatever. And he did. He was pretty good about that. And let's face it, for a lot of the guys in the league, running is a part of their game, and you want them to be smart, pick and choose their spots. I thought in the time that he was out there, he chose wisely. There were a couple of other ones where I thought maybe he would tuck it and run, and he kind of kept it, threw it. Now maybe a receiver would drop it. Maybe they would catch it, but that's sort of 50-50 for him. But no, that one, that's crazy that he would say that about that play. He slid.
There's definitely something to a quarterback protecting himself. Tua's a great example. Garoppolo's another great example. I didn't feel like May put himself in danger yesterday. He might when he runs, period. But on that specific one, he's going to the ground. In fairness to Mayo there, he was being led by the question, like it was in reference to something Boomer Esiason said. But
don't you say, like, on that play,
yeah,
like, obviously you want our quarterbacks and all players take care of themselves.
That's what
it is very important.
Should do.
Yeah, no, I don't like that.
And so you can jump in on that. 617-779-7937. Do you blame Drake May, as it sounds like Mayo does?
I do not.
Got to protect himself. You can jump in there. Also, how do you feel about the win? Do you know how to feel about this win? Patriots beat the Jets. They ruined their draft positioning. Are you happy about the victory? Both Keith and I think you should be.
Yes.
I'm happy about the win today. I'd feel better if it's Drake May slinging it and leading you to a win. But I still like the win. I'm still happy with the win. They needed it. This whole organization needed it. And this...
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, this idea that, like, they were super tough yesterday and they weren't a soft team yesterday, they still got run on. I mean, they still gave up, another 22 points yesterday. Not that they were awful defensively. It's not like they were running the ball down the Jets' throat yesterday. They got severely outgained. So I wouldn't want to go too far with they proved they're tough. They buttoned up all of their issues going into the game, but they desperately needed a win. And, yeah, I feel good about it.
I disagree with this text. Not the first part, hey, morons,
yep.
But the second part.
Yeah.
The reason he was running is because the offensive line can't hold a block for more than 1 second. I would suggest that you maybe rewatch the game. I feel like the offensive line wasn't bad yesterday. The offensive line was probably as good as it's been.
I think the O-line, and like no one's telling you it's a good offensive line.
No. We've moved past that.
But I think they've played pretty well the last 3-4 games.
Yeah, I definitely. They allowed 2 sacks. One of them, Brissett, hung on to the ball too long. And the other one, I think Drake May just didn't want to make sure he didn't turn it over, ever a bad throw. So I don't think it was that. And again, we're talking about him sliding and Mayo saying that he should protect himself a little bit more. But yeah, the defense, I mean, is bad and as slow and as immobile as Aaron Rodgers was. They got 1 sack. They gave up 112 yards rushing, 4 yards a carry. So, like, that part, that's kind of, I guess, average or whatever. Yeah, I wasn't, like, blown away by their toughness. However,
I mean, their defense, the Twitch chat is right. Their defense gave up the go-ahead score late in the game. Like, I mean, you want to trumpet your toughness.
Right.
I don't know that they necessarily checked all those boxes, but they did win.
But,
and so they can change that narrative or at least attempt to.
On Friday, Alex Van Pelt, friend of the show, was telling us he wanted them to play longer and harder. Do you think they were harder and longer in this one?
I think they were definitely longer.
Yeah.
And a little bit harder.
A little bit harder.
Yeah, a little bit.
Play harder. We got to play longer.
I think they did.
A little bit.
I got somebody texted or tweeted over the weekend. They were like, too bad this one didn't go to overtime, so they really could have played longer.
Well, the Jets could get a 2-point conversion. We would have been there.
Yeah.
Also, this one, we'll get to this coming up. 37937. Mayo took a shot at you two clowns, perpetuating the idea the players were out in London.
Well, that's not our report, by the way.
That started with Kendrick Bourne. Just FYI.
A player on the team.
Yeah.
Okay.
That started with Kendrick Bourne.
Yep.
It was then followed up by a team-wide meeting that the team held in the middle of the week.
Right.
And multiple reports yesterday, Mike Reese, Phil Perry, among them, that said Javon Baker missed curfew in London.
Yeah, that's not us.
So, like, I mean, Mayo, you can try to cover it up all you want.
Yeah.
Something happened in London where you needed to address the whole team. Baker was disciplined going into the London game, and Kendrick Bourne was calling the team out. So I legitimately don't know what it was, but
okay, go to the next question.
Also, if you're
we got next question by Christian Gonzalez, like you yeah. can try to pretend nothing happened all you want. Oh, why'd no. you call a team meeting?
If you're hanging your hat on something Mayo said, don't do it for too long because tomorrow he's going to change his mind.
He'll correct it.
Correct.
You know what? I said that no one broke curfew in London. What I actually meant was a whole bunch of players.
We
did.
Don't have curfew. So nobody could possibly break it.
That's what I actually.
They can do whatever they want.
You guys can jump in on this 617-779-7937. Drake May and the injury. Are the Patriots putting him in harm's way? Did he put himself in harm's way? Do you agree with Mayo on that? And furthermore, how do you feel about this win? Are you feeling good? Or are they screwing their draft position? Again, 617-779-7937. It's Patriots Monday. A lot to get to on the show. We'll be joined by Hunter Henry. We'll be joined by Christian Gonzalez. We'll go back through week 8 in the NFL with what happened.
A lot happened.
A lot.
Wow, there were some dramatic games.
A lot of touchdowns, dramatic games. One very interesting finish. Oh, those. One very interesting finish with the Washington Commanders yesterday, which we'll be sure to get to. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. And then let's get to Jerod Mayo. How much credit does he get for yesterday?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Is when. That's next.
I mean, yeah, I called them soft, but I never said they weren't resilient.
I guess.
I mean, technically, I guess that's true.
I mean, he could try to wriggle his way out of it all he wants.
He said they were soft. That's how he felt in the moment.
And he said
was
they
pissed.
Played soft.
Tried to walk it back a little bit, like he always does. And you're like, all right, that's still noteworthy.
Yep.
Saying that they're playing soft. Still not great. And you wonder how the locker room was going to respond to it. So here's my one thought on it.
Yeah.
Actually, I have several. I have about 4 hours worth of thoughts. But one thought I'm gonna tell everybody.
Stretch them out a little bit. We got a lot of time here. Just stretch those
this
out.
This is my last thought of the day, Jones, is I feel like if those comments came later in the season, like week 15, they might just bail and be like, forget it.
Yep.
Free agents, who cares? This guy might be gone. Easier to pack your stuff. But they're all pros, and they're like, we have 10 more games. Like, are we going to let this annoy us? And then also, but then we're the ones out there putting on bad tape, and then we're the ones that could cost us down the line.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this necessarily means they love or hate or somewhere in the middle with their coach, but they did respond in a positive way and got a win. Like, he did one of the most probably offensive things you could do, like, publicly.
We played Whitworth last week.
Yeah,
Whitworth
yeah.
was pissed.
They couldn't believe it.
Max Crosby said he would fight a coach over that. Like, I mean, that and those are guys without ties to New England. That's not just Bill Belichick and his cronies and ex-players talking about it. These are ex-players in the league talking about it on their platform. It was that big of a story last week.
Well, and what's crazy, too, is we learned when we talked to Big Mike on Wenu last Friday is Mayo didn't call them soft to their faces.
No.
Like,
I found out when everybody else found out.
Because that's sort of the difference. Remember, like, Bruce Cassidy would destroy the players and then go to the post-game press conference and just destroy them again. But it's not like that was a news to them. Like, Jake DeBrusk probably got yelled at face-to-face, and then he felt it was mean to him and all that stuff.
Yep.
But I think he was pretty consistent with it. Whereas Mayo is like, hey, guys, you know, bad game. Then he goes out there, he's like, we got a soft football team. And they're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
The hell?
Yeah, so I've seen this a lot this week where it was like, well, he didn't say anything that he wasn't saying behind closed doors.
Well, no, apparently he was.
I mean, according to Mike on Wednesday, it was different.
Yep.
Now, the message might have been the same, but he didn't call him soft. He didn't use that word in the locker room.
Yeah, words hurt.
Words hurt. Words hurt, Keith. Yeah. Words matter.
Uh-huh.
So, look, I just think they needed this victory to stem the tide. I think that's all they did. I mean, let's see if they really respond to Mayo and start playing better and start to or continue to limit the other team's run game. And, you know, they're a team that can come through in clutch spots like they did yesterday. Like, is this a one-off or is this something where they bottomed out and now they're building back up? It's at bare minimum a one-off and they needed it.
Mm-hmm.
But still yesterday, the Jets averaged 4 yards a carry. They ran for over 100 yards. It wasn't wild, but like,
no.
I thought Breece Hall, they should have used more.
Way
in the
more.
Game. I don't feel like the Patriots stopped him. I feel like the Jets kind of stopped Breece
Hall. They were like really trying to make Rodgers' passing attack happen, which I didn't understand. It was like when they played the Jets in week three, the Patriots should have run more and they didn't. And then now this week, the Jets should have run more and they didn't.
But it was an improvement. Like they didn't get gouged like they had
the
weeks
before.
Oh, no,
God, no. Yeah, so, yeah, no. So it was better.
It was an improvement and they deserve credit for that. A tough team probably doesn't let the Jets march right down the field and get the go-ahead score.
No.
So that's another strike there. The Jets still scored 20-plus, but that's not an outrageous number.
No. Nope.
The Patriots did show some toughness. You know, they pounded it on fourth down, Ramondre Stevenson, from like the half-yard line. I thought Brissett showed a lot of toughness by hanging in on that throw to Kayshon Boutte on the third and 10.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think Brissett played pretty well throughout.
Like, the one thing about Brissett is he is tough.
Yeah.
Like, he's not, he's not soft, but I mean, that's... The problem is that was like the number one like superlative of Brissett. Yeah, it's tough. It's like, yeah, it's because he gets beaten the snot out.
But a lot of times he'll be tough and, yeah, just get sacked or he'll take
a big hit
or he'll throw an incompletion. Like yesterday he hung in and still made the play. And so I thought Brissett played pretty well. This is the role for Brissett. Your starter gets hurt, he comes in and he can play competently.
Yeah.
It's not he's your starter for 17 weeks. Like
yesterday
was the right role for Jacoby Brissett. He can win you a game like that.
Yep.
He's not going to win you a lot of games when he's the starter and that's all you have
from
Jump Street.
And Drake May, in the limited time he was out there, did enough where every single person is thinking, all right, Drake May is the guy. As soon as he's healthy, he's back in there. Brissett kind of can, you know, be the bridge. Hopefully it's not too long. You never know with head injuries. Guys could be out 1 week. They could be out 5 weeks. Like, you have no clue. But, yeah, Brissett went in there. And he did what was asked of him. And I think that's a great story. And I give him credit for sticking with it. Right? He was the starter for 5 weeks.
Yep.
He gets removed. And everyone's like, oh, he's the perfect guy to be a mentor. It's like, well, he's also a human being and he's a competitor. And he wants to play. He wants to be the starter. So he's not. He has to deal with that. But he clearly didn't just, you know, give up on the season or anything like that. And that's what you would expect, right? Like, he's tough, but he's also a professional. And so he went out there and made the most of it. It doesn't mean I want to see him play again. It was just like, hey, good for you, though.
So how much, and Brissett deserves plaudits for that. How much of yesterday was about Mayo? Like, how much did Mayo improve? Did Mayo get anything out of the team? They responded to Mayo. Like, take it wherever you want. But how much of yesterday was about Mayo?
So I think, I mean, it was super important to Mayo. And as far as, you know, what he does, I think the fact that they at least were not checked out is a positive sign for him. I still don't entirely know what he does. Like, I don't think we got that answer.
Handshakes.
Right. He's got a
choreographed
handshake with AVP.
Was that the kid in play? Somebody tweeted me that. Was that like the kid in play high five? What was
that? No, but so, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
So he gets no credit for offense, right?
Mayo. I wouldn't give him any.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty significant.
Not for me.
That's a big part of the game.
Yep.
Special teams, I don't think he's really got a hand in that.
I wouldn't give him that. No.
Okay. So there is a lot. So defense.
Mm-hmm.
Does he get, how much credit does he even get for the defense? Or, like, is that Covington? And then also, like, how good of a performance was it?
I got an email, and I think this is a fair point.
Okay.
It's like, okay, so it sounds like Van Pelt's getting no credit for yesterday. Mayo's getting all this credit.
I think Van Pelt does deserve credit for yesterday.
Me too. I would give Alex Van Pelt credit for yesterday.
Right.
I'm with you on that. But it doesn't feel like he's getting a lot of it. Maybe we'd give it to him, but largely it's, hey, they responded for Mayo, which I think is a little overblown.
Yeah, go ahead.
When it comes to Covington, though, that's the guy who got thrown under the bus last week. And now the defense corrects and we're going to give all the credit to Mayo? Like, Covington, if you're going to blame Covington for last week, I wasn't really blaming him. So I was blaming Mayo last week. I'll give Mayo credit. If you were those blaming Covington last week, like, what does he do?
Yeah.
Well, then you need to give him some credit for yesterday.
Well, the questions came up, you know, is Mayo going to take over defensive play calling? And he's like, no. And he's like,
definitely not.
He's like, I've never done it. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Just going to stand
there. He's like, Covington's done more games than I have. He's the more experienced guy than me.
Yep.
So I think it's like overall because he is in charge of the entire operation and he called him out and everybody ripped Mayo for calling him out in the manner that he did. The fact that the very next game they come out and win, like I think he gets credit for that. But I would give Van Pelt more credit for planning all week for Drake May to start. Drake May starts, plays pretty well. His receivers are dropping passes, not Van Pelt's part. He schemed stuff up to get them open.
He schemed them wide open stuff for
wide open stuff. Those guys suck, not his problem. That's an Elliott Wolf problem. And then he has to switch quarterbacks on the fly, which honestly might be one of his calling cards. The Browns played 20 quarterbacks last year when he was there. And then he gets a win, including a final drive, and then sticking with it and not – you know, they get right down to the goal line with Booty, and then he's like, nope, fourth and goal, we're going to hand it off, we're going to give it to Ramondre, and they get the win. Van Pelt deserves probably the most credit out of all the coaches on the staff.
Agreed.
But, I mean, it's the most important still for Mayo.
There are two things I didn't like from, well, one is Van Pelt, the other, I guess, is Mayo, actually, but Van Pelt might have had a hand in it. I hated the opening drive. The opening drive was so bad.
Opening drive was front. Were there boos? I feel like I heard boos.
I don't know.
I was watching on TV, but.
Yeah, Nick, you're nodding back there. There were boos on the opening drive.
I feel like I heard boos multiple times.
Okay, well.
People are really getting a little,
so
a little
the first
spicy.
Drive I hated, there were obviously boos at the end of the half.
I was going to say, the end of the half I hated even more. That was, what are you doing? So they suck at that all the time. They
Who's
don't know
that?
What they're doing.
That's Mayo.
Is that Mayo?
I think we need to blame Mayo for that.
But I don't think Mayo said, third and short, do like a weird QB keeper thing.
Maybe not the play call.
That
sucked. They had already burned all the clock at that. It was 1:51. They had timeouts. It's the guy. It was your week one starter. And they just said, nah, we're not going to go for it.
Every single week that they have had the ball to close the half, whoever is the color commentator has always said, I'd like them to be a little bit more aggressive. We're like, hey, maybe they could maybe do something here. Like the Jets had no timeouts. Like you could go down do something.
Something.
But it's like that in between where at least this time they just ran, but the first two carries got him like 9 yards. Why don't you just hand it to Stevenson one more time to see if he could pop one? But they're like, no, we're going to do like a weird fake tush push and then just kind of fall down horizontally along the line and then run the clock.
They were content. They wanted the half.
But that's awful.
Of course it's awful.
You know what that is?
What?
It's coaching soft.
It's coaching soft. That's not soft coaching. That's a soft coaching aspect is what it is. A soft coaching move for sure.
Yep.
Let's go to the phones. Dave in New Hampshire, you happy with the win yesterday?
No, not really. Neither of these teams wanted to win that game. No, you win. No, you win. they are what they are. Let's not get carried away.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't think anybody's getting carried away.
Yeah, we're doing our best not to get carried away.
We were just asking if you were happy about the win, which I am.
I also think it helps.
I don't need this team to tank, by the way. You already have the quarterback. We've said this a million times. If you didn't have the quarterback, tank away. But you have the quarterback, and so I don't really care if you're drafting third or fifth or eighth. That doesn't really bother me, and none of that was at stake yesterday. So I'm happy with the win.
I just
would have been happier if it were Drake May.
I also love beating the Jets.
Yeah.
You know, the Jets are supposed to be good. This was supposed to be a get-right game for them, and they lose. Because we talked briefly last week about, you know, what would happen for both teams if they lost. And you're like, all right, well, the Patriots is just this downward spiral continues. It's 7 straight losses. But it's like, you already know it's a bad team. If the Jets lose, like, what do you do there? You just traded for Adams. You fired your head coach already. The new coach has had 3 games. They've lost all 3 of them. Like, can you fire that guy? Like, how far can you go down? So, like, that to me is just comical that the Jets lost. Like, that's unreal.
Yeah. And
they still have 9 games to go. Like, what is that going to look like?
They acquired, as you said, Devontae Adams. Aaron Rodgers complaining after the game. They've made all these moves.
They got the Texans on Thursday,
and they're a complete disaster. And they're not even heavy underdogs.
They're like 0.5 dogs at home. Ruff, ruff. They're gonna bark a little bit.
No. I'm saying buying opportunity on the other side.
Do we go heavy Texans?
Maybe heavy Texans.
We go heavy Texans.
It's a discussion.
Nick,
for Thursday.
Do you push? You all in on Texans? All the chips?
Empty the account.
Yeah, I'll empty the account that has not much money in it.
Oh, Nick! these Bozo touchdowns are killing us!
I did have a lot of Drake May props associated with my parlays this week. So.
It wasn't my best gambling or fantasy weekend, but the Patriots won, which we're feeling good about.
Yep,
617-779-7937. How about that wide receiver room? What a day yesterday. And I guess Kayshon Booty kind of salvaged it at the end, but what a mess. More issues in the wide receiver room. We'll get to it next. Phil Perry on NBC Sports Boston prior to Patriots and Jets yesterday. Drake May held himself back, according to Gerard Mayo, got himself hurt.
Yeah, you got to protect yourself out there, even though you're sliding.
Even though you're giving up your body.
Yeah.
Make sure that, you do a better job out there, says Gerard Mayo. But Phil says Javon Baker missed curfew. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Sounds like something.
Mike Reese termed it a hiccup. is how he termed it in his Sunday notes. He said before the Patriots can trust rookie receiver Javon Baker on the field, they need to be able to trust him off it. Baker had a quote-unquote hiccup in London last week, and when it came to following up at least one part of the team's itinerary, according to a team source, he was inactive for a third straight game. He says tightening things up was a team-wide theme upon returning home from London. So Patriots receivers struggled until the final drive when Kayshon Boutte was able to reel in some catches yesterday. But they do end up on an uptick. Patriots get the 25-22 victory yesterday. And one man who caught everything that was thrown his way, Hunter Henry, Patriots tight end. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Hunter Henry, how you feeling on a victory Monday?
Feeling good.
What was the locker room like yesterday? We heard that it was pretty loud, noisy in there from all the reporters that were outside. How was the scene in the locker room after you guys finally get your second win?
Yeah, it was great. Obviously, I mean, that's how a locker room should be after a victory. It would be weird if it wasn't, so it was great.
How do you celebrate National Tight Ends Day? Do you go back and look at old film of Rob Gronkowski and Mike Ditka, or how does that go?
Of course, you always got to look back at the greats, man. Those guys have paved the way for all of us, man. And you also love to watch all the tight ends around the league, man. It's just there's so many good tight ends that are playing at a high level, and so I just have so much respect for everybody playing across the league.
Do you have a favorite guy to watch when you're not playing another tight end on another team?
I think George is a guy, obviously, that plays the game at a high level and just, continues to produce year after year. But what I love about him is just how great of a teammate you can tell he is and just how much he just cares, how hard he plays the game at. So I have so much respect for him. But there's so many. Evan Ingram's a guy that I actually grew up with, and I've always enjoyed watching him. His skill level is just so high, and he's a fun guy to watch.
We were just discussing the receivers before you got on the air here, Hunter. There were a lot of drops in the game yesterday from the receiver group. Bourne promised he'd do better after the performance. Kayshon Boutte had a couple of drops and then had a big final drive. What does that say about the receiver room and I guess Boutte in particular to overcome that on that final drive?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, that's obviously a tough position to be in when you have some drops. I mean, I've been there before, but you got to overcome. I think it just shows a lot of mental toughness because it can be hard and it can compound and you can start thinking about it a little bit, but those guys stepped up when the time, Boutte stepped up when it mattered most. That's all you can ask for. And that's what we needed in that moment to come out with a big win.
What's the response on the sideline when you guys find out Drake May is down and Jacoby Brissett is coming in?
You just kind of move on. You keep going to the next thing. And, Jacoby's played a lot of football, and you just keep continuing to go out there, continue to compete.
What did you think of Brissett when he got in there?
He was great. Thought he handled the situation great. It's obviously a tough position for anybody that just been sitting over there and to come in and have to respond and continue to play, but felt like he did a great job.
And it seems like finally some continuity with the offensive line. The first time there wasn't a new starting group up front, but the last couple of weeks, it seems like maybe playing their best football. I know you're a part of that as well, but it seems like those guys have really figured it out.
These guys are continuing to get better, man. They work really hard at what they do. Obviously a lot of youth there. And like you said, obviously a lot of just guys moving around to different positions and having to do different things and stepping up to the bell. You got to give a lot of credit to them on how they're continuing to get better, continuing to try to improve every single week, and I think they're doing that.
What did yesterday's win say about your team? We spent a lot of time, we asked you last Monday, we spent a lot of time during the week. Nationally, there was a lot of conversation. Mayo calling you guys out for being a soft team. You respond with that victory. I know Bill Belichick weighed in during the week. I don't know if you have a message to him or anyone who referred to the team as soft. What did it say about you guys to get that win?
I think we're a tough team, man, mentally tough and physically tough. But I think you got to look at the mentally tough part of it right now, too. I think that's huge. I mean, anytime the way the season's gone, it can compound on you and just be super hard, obviously. Like, competing at the highest level. We're all high-level competitors, and we hate to lose. We love to win. So it can be hard, but to continue to persevere, continue to work hard, feel like we've just continued to get better over the last few weeks. It just hasn't produced in wins, and so it's good to finally get a win.
Did you happen to see Gerard Mayo and Alex Van Pelt's touchdown celebration handshake?
I did not.
You didn't? Oh,
yeah.
Man, they had like a
now
whole...
you're probably better off.
They had a whole choreographed thing after May's...
After Drake May's run, they had
touchdown,
a whole little
yeah.
thing. The TV caught them. Yeah, it was quite a little celebration. Yeah.
Good. Well, shoot, it's always good to bring juice to the sidelines. You know, I feel like making plays and scoring touchdowns always brings juice to the sideline.
All right, real quick, I got three Halloween-related questions for you. First one would be, what is your favorite Halloween candy?
Man, probably Reese's.
Okay, good one. Do you have a favorite costume that you wore, whether it was as a kid or maybe even at like an adult party?
That's a good one. I remember growing up, I never got to be anything scary. This was like silly or anything. My parents didn't want me to ever be anything like, I don't know. They just wanted me to be like a good costume, I guess. And one year I got to be Scream.
Nice.
And I felt like that was so cool. I was like 8 or I was like 10 maybe or something.
Nice.
Like,
yeah.
And I thought it was so cool or something to be like a scary costume. So that's something that comes to mind.
That's funny because that was Mike Unwenu's favorite
Unwenu
costume
also
too.
Got to be
it's the
Scream,
same thing.
Yeah.
Got to be the ghost face. And then I don't know if you're a horror movie guy at all, but do you have a favorite horror movie of all time?
Absolutely not. I will not watch horror movies. I don't want to sit there and be scared. I hate them.
Fair enough. Wow. Is that maybe that's because your parents didn't want you to be anything spooky as a kid? Maybe you're still freaked out by horror movies to this day.
I don't know. I think I had a bad experience when I was young. I think I did watch one and I got freaked out. And I think I just don't want to do it.
I got you.
It's not for me.
All right.
How about
very
that?
Good.
See, we're sitting around watching movies, eating potato chips. You're the professional athlete, so you're on to something.
You made better
there.
Choices than
yeah,
we did.
No, for real. You really did. Yeah. Well, Hunter Henry, congrats on the win. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Appreciate you.
All right. Thank you.
Hunter Henry, as all our guests on the Patriots Monday, joining
us. Put him down
here
for Reese's.
On WEEI. Yeah. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Yeah, Reese's is a...
I now envision all of the Patriots showing up to a costume party all as Ghostface.
Unwenu, Hunter like, Henry, each guy showing up.
At least there's like 7 different masks to choose from.
Yeah, there's same one coming through there. And it's a whodunit, though. Anybody can be under that mask.
Now, let me tell
you. Voice changers the same.
Let me tell you, we're going to do, should I spoil our tears for tomorrow?
Yeah, no, we mentioned it, I think, last week.
Did we? Okay, we're gonna tear off candy.
Candies.
I mean, Reese's is a bit of a boring answer, but,
no,
it's,
but sometimes
it's the right answer.
The obvious answer is the right answer.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah, yeah.
It is very true. And so we'll get that a lot. Although we didn't get that from Van Pelt, a candy corn guy.
Yeah.
And on when he liked
gummy bears.
Yeah. So that's the first time we've got
we've got a few different answers, which I respect.
Reese's peanut butter cup.
Yeah.
I know Gonzo's a little squirrely about being asked about food.
He might next question that.
But I'm curious to hear what his answer is when it comes to his favorite Halloween candy.
Yeah.
He'll join us later on a Patriots Monday. Patriots 25-22 winners over the New York Jets. How you feeling about the win? Do you not know how to feel about the win? Drake May gets knocked out. Patriots hurt their draft position. So was it a costly win for the Patriots? We can get to that with your phone calls next.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.